Sabbath blessings. Blessings, everybody. I might be a little bit too loud. Am I too loud? No? Is okay? Is okay. All right, if you can kneel where you're at, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We worship you, we trust you, and we love you. Thank you for another day to come together and to worship you. Each and every week you bless us with this Sabbath day. Thank you for keeping us in these last days and keeping us safe. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness. Thank you for blessing us with the latter rain and opening our eyes to the truth and giving us opportunities to share the truth with others. Thank you for answering the prayers of all those that are on our prayer list. Thank you for healing Sean of that accident in Florida. We especially pray for our loved ones that are lost, Father, that you keep as close to them as possible, give them every opportunity to find Christ and gain him as Lord and Savior. We thank you, Father, for the technology that allows us to go around the world and to share your truth with others, and the opportunity to fellowship, because you have got us scattered, and strategically so, as you did in the past with the early church. Thank you for blessing us in every way that we need. Thank you for the trials and tribulations, too, as well as the good times that help us grow in Christ. We thank you for all these things, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're still in manuscripts and letters, last day events. We're in. Are we in chapter 8? Wait a second here. The latter rain, we already did that last week, I think, right? Yeah. We're in the third angel's message of Revelation 18. Yeah, so we're in that. Okay. For those of you that are new, and if you don't have the book, it's in the room right now. If you're on dial-up, give it a moment. And for those of you that are new that don't know who Ellen White is, treat her as you would Spurgeon or Matthew Henry or Easton or whatever, like Bible commentators. I would suggest using her for a couple free months whenever you have a question in Scripture. A good thing would do, read your Bible every day like we all should, and then after you're done with a chapter, say, go into Ellen White's writings and see everything that she has to say about that particular chapter. You can do that just by, there's a Ellen White site on the internet, or you can just buy the CD and do it on your home computer. If you do that for two or three months, I guarantee you, you'll never pick up a book by Spurgeon or Easton or Matthew Henry or any of these guys again, because this woman does have an uncanny ability to explain the Scriptures by using the Scriptures. No gray areas, no opinions, no interpretations. Just allowing the Scriptures to speak for themselves. All right, so we're on page 64. In this, of course, the first one is Letter 34, October 12, 1875. While the false prophets are crying peace and safety and are seeking to soothe the consciences of men, saying to the sinner, don't be alarmed, it shall be well with thee. The voice of God's servants must be heard to arouse them that are asleep, crying, sudden destruction cometh upon every soul of man who is not awake, watching and waiting for the appearing of their Lord in the clouds of heaven. The third angel's message in power will go forth, and the earth will be lightened with its glory, with his glory. The message of warning must be carried to every nation upon the globe. Satan is always astir to hedge up the way. We must be wise, or he will prevail. This peace and safety thing, I mean, they've been doing this for years. I mean, it's been going on a lot lately, too. But I can remember an article I did years ago about an article that the Vatican put out that said, the end is not yet nigh. It was more or less, I think that was the headline, where the Vatican was telling the Italians. I mean, this was a local newspaper for the people in the area, because I guess there was some kind of hustle and bustle. I guess some real preachers got in the area and started sharing some truth about the end times. I mean, it never was mentioned in the newspapers that somebody was in the area stirring up the people that lived in the area, letting them know that we're on the last days. All we know is what the Vatican put out in their newspaper. You know, because, of course, you know how they guard the media. And they stated, John Paul II, this is when he was alive, he stated that the world is not coming to an end. Jesus is not coming back soon. It's, you know, and it was, it's peace and safety, he was saying, not to worry. And it's just crazy. I mean, they're saying that now all over the place, but the Vatican is one of the mainstreamers that does say this, the peace and safety thing, when in fact they're the ones that are generating all the wars in the world. Anybody that does not want to go along with Catholicism or does not want the Vatican to be involved in their internal structure of the government, that's where you'll see the wars. If you do some research, I did it a few years ago, I don't have it online, but anybody can do this. Just go look and see. There are some, I mean, some of the websites that have this information are kind of like, they don't seem legit, but if you do some in-depth research into the sources, you'll find that every single war that has ever been generated in modern time has been thanks to the Vatican. I mean, just look at Hitler, for example. He was Roman Catholic, and the Vatican was helping him in every way that they could at that time until he became unpopular, then, of course, they backed off. All right, so letter 51, September 6, 1886, says, we are in danger of becoming a sister to fallen Babylon. Of course, this is a quote that you won't see preached in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, these kind of quotes. They're not shared because the message today is the Seventh-day Adventist Church has become a sister to fallen Babylon. There are a lot of quotes where Sister White literally says that's the end result of this church. And we have shared them online. We do have, you know, a couple of websites out there that are, you know, sharing this information. Because, you know, we have a burden for souls no matter what church they're in. And the Seventh-day Adventist Church is like-minded brethren. And so, we, of course, the burden's going to be a little bit more intense there. Anyway, it says, we are in danger of becoming a sister to fallen Babylon or allowing our churches to become corrupted and filled with every foul spirit, a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. I tell you the truth, Elder Butler, that unless there was a cleansing of the soul temple on the part of many who claim to believe and to preach the truth, God's judgments, long deferred, will come. I address you who shall have this epistle brought before you, who are leaders who may be termed princes among the people. Be ye clean and bear the vessels of the Lord, Isaiah 52:11. Humble your souls before God. Jesus is the sanctuary. We are in the great day of atonement. And if the investigated judgment has not already commenced for the living, it will soon begin. Okay? And, like, because we don't know the day or an hour, it's kind of hard to figure as to when it started, but it does appear to have started. That with probation closing, of course, on the Seventh-day Adventist Church as well. But the strange thing is how, this just reminded me what we were talking about last night in the audio room, conference room, as well as last week when it came out that one sermon that's being preached. I think it was first preached. I don't know if it was first preached, but I'm assuming it was. The audio clip that I have on the SDA Apostasy site about this sermon is from Loma Linda. That much I do know. And he did preach it, stating that this, we all know it, some guy named Dr. Hughes is his name, and he's telling all the Seventh-day Adventists, he's going to all these Seventh-day Adventist churches in California, telling the people that Jesus told him in a vision, and then he goes word for word, supposedly what the vision said, that Seventh-day Adventists should not be keeping the Jewish Sabbath. That's strictly for the Jews. The Gentiles have a Sunday Sabbath. And then he says something about the investigative judgment and the state of the dead being heresy and other things. He goes into other strange things too as well. It's so sad to see it with like-minded brethren. I mean, you know, it's to be expected in all the Protestant churches where they don't understand, they don't have the testimony of Christ, they just don't see the prophecies the way we do. But when you're stepping in the church where the virgins are at, you know, that's why, you know, I mean, we're seeing it right now. You know, half of them are foolish and half of them are wise. And they are waking up because the bridegroom is coming. Letter 22, January 18th, 1889, says, I stated at the 1888 General Conference session, I was reading this morning, as a matter of fact, in my devotions. It says, okay, that there was to be special light for God's people as they neared the closing scenes of this earth's history. Another angel was to come down from heaven with a message, and the whole earth was to be lighted with his glory. It would be impossible for us to state just how this additional light will come. it might come in a very unexpected manner, in a way that would not agree with the ideas that many have conceived. It is not at all unlikely or contrary to the ways and works of God to send light to his people in unexpected ways. Would it be right that every avenue should be closed? And of course, no, it wouldn't be. But the neat thing is, line upon line, precept upon precept. Or as Isaiah 8:20 says, it's a law and a testimony. They speak not according to this word is because there's no light in them. So if you hear an unexpected message, you know, like a message coming to you in an unexpected way, do as the Bereans did. It's that easy. As we understand, there's a lot of stuff that we don't understand. I don't care if you're a theologian with alphabet soup after your name, claiming to be a doctor of divinity. There's things you just don't know. We're going to be learning all throughout eternity. So how can we stop learning today? I mean, because there are people out there that claim that, you know, I don't need to learn anymore. You can't teach me anything. And that's sad when you have a spirit like that, because could cause a major problem. All right, now hopefully we can get through this next letter. The reason I say hopefully is this is huge. It is definitely going to be the last one I'm reading today. Okay, because it's huge. Manuscript 31, 1890. It says, the warnings and entreatings of the Word of God and the fulfillment of prophecy in events daily taking place around us are but dimly comprehended by many who profess to believe the present truth. Satan would have men sleep while he is actively at work sowing the seeds of error. You can see that in just secular world today, too, with the TV, you know, like the cosmic potato world. I mean, the dumbing down of America. Oh, all the countries are having that now with the dumbing down to get people to be complacent. I mean, there's still people out there that want to do something. The drugs help, yeah. The lice, the psychotropic drugs, or just the drugs on your street corner. You know, but the psychotropic stuff, which is a lot more potent than that stuff they're selling. Yeah, and it's legal, you know, because the AMA is involved and they can get their piece of the pie. They're destroying people's minds with the inability to focus and to understand Scripture. That and if you don't do drugs, and if you're not on psychotropic drugs, it's the food you eat. And the devil's getting it every way he can because he knows there is a human organ that he can manipulate. It's called your brain. So when you eat, okay, fine, you eat and you realize that when I eat this, it nourishes my body. And why is it we always think with the brain that the only thing that's nourishing is our stomach, you know, the lining, or the kidneys, or the gallbladder, or the intestine, or the ability, you know, to grow, or the skin, or to make my bones stronger, or make my hair lustrous, or whatever. You know, I don't know, some of the, you know, girls will eat things for the hair, I guess. But they never think about, you know, that thing you're using to think about is also being nourished. And so if you're eating things that are poisonous, the brain's going to get poisoned too, and the devil knows that, and he's using that to his advantage. Continuing, it says, every eye in the unfallen universe is bent on the scenes unfolding before us. The final scenes of the great controversy. You ever think about that? Those unfallen worlds, those, you know, where Satan wasn't allowed to go. It was only cast to this planet because we're the only ambassadors for Christ that have been created. But have you ever thought about how do they know what's going on in this world? Are the angels letting them know? I never really investigated it. I'm just thinking out loud right now. I just never really investigated. How are they knowing? You know, continuing, the consummation of a long struggle of evil against good, of hell with heaven. Satan, with his miracle-working power, is to deceive the world of the ungodly. But Christ, the atoning sacrifice, will be a refuge to every soul that trusts in him. In the cleft of the rock, that one song? In the cleft of the rock, we may hide, secure from all the powers and arts of the wicked one. Satan will take possession of every mind given to his control, and will work through every agency that he can secure to further his plans. And if you don't think it's possible, there's so many little dinky little footholds that the devil uses to keep you on a leash so that when the day comes or the hour of temptation, he's got you. He's got permission. You gave it to him. So that's why a lot of people can't understand some of the hard times they got in life. And then when you ask them the questions, okay, are you doing this in life? Do you do this? Do you do that? Do you eat this? Do you smoke that? I mean, you know, whatever. And if they answered it yes to any of those, it says, well, if you're giving the devil permission to be in your house, there's really nothing you can do to stop him. He's got permission to be there. Those little footholds, that's all he needs. Continuing. And the greater the necessity of shedding light into the darkness of the world, the greater and more varied will be Satan's efforts to intercept the truth. The light. Let me reread that. And the greater the necessity of shedding light into the darkness of the world, the greater and more varied will be Satan's efforts to intercept the light. You know, the more important it is, the more the attack. You know, that's a no-brainer. We know the bigger the truth, the bigger the attack. The Lord has prevailed. The perils that are around and before us. Through the agency of the spirit of prophecy, he has unveiled the delusions that will take the world captive, and has spoken to his people, saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Volume 4 of the Great Controversy unmasks the deceptions of Satan, and we may expect that the enemy of all righteousness will put forth every effort in his power to keep away from the people that which unveils his arts. And if he can't keep it away, he'll make it look good or pure or holy or wholesome. I mean, the wolf in sheep's clothing is not a misnomer. It's truth. It's you know, Christ wasn't kidding when he was talking about that. By his Spirit, the Lord has given the very instruction that is needed at this time. The special movement under the messages of Revelation 14 and its relation to the past and the future, the closing work of Christ in heaven and of his people upon the earth, has been unfolded. So we know, we already got that's the nice thing about living in today's world. We have history and we have prophecy. We can look back and verify and validate. The study of eschatology is such a blessing, you know, to actually take prophecies and match them. Now I'm talking Christian prophecies. Well, there really isn't anything else. Take the Christian prophecies, match them up with historic events. Of course, it takes a little bit to get those historic events because history books have been so altered now. I mean, I'm not talking about going into your high schools, if there's any teenagers listening, if you go to regular schools, those history books aren't, those are fiction. What you see in them books, it's just what they want you to think happened in the past. You got to do some in-depth study online, you know. Anyway, continuing. Or just go to a library. Usually, a big city library will have the information you need, because that's how I started out with my research. I used to live in libraries. I used to love going to them. Now it's the internet. I just like, you know, reading that stuff. Anyway, the Lord placed upon me the burden of bringing out these things, and in Volume 4, and of course, the Spirit of Prophecy series, I have presented them. I still feel a burden that the message shall go to the people. In that book are warnings to guard the people of God against the many errors that shall be promulgated as truth. Every family among our people should study it. The truths which it presents will arouse the conscience, and to many will prove a safeguard against deception. And we need that armor. You know, we need the Holy Spirit's help. We need everything we can to get. If we don't draw nigh now, when it comes time when you really need Christ, you really need that experience with him to be able to hear his voice or have the discernment to understand where to go, left to right or whatever. If you don't start drawing nigh to him now, when the day comes, you're not going to be able to handle it. You're not going to have that experience to draw back on. We've got to start doing it now, especially now that we see these signs all around us, these things, these strange things that are happening. We have to finally get to the mindset. We don't know the day or the hour, but you know, I think the healthier mindset would be it may happen in our lifetime. You know? Some people will say it probably will happen. And the way things are rolling downhill, the odds are it's going to happen. But still, we don't know the day or the hour. But the better mindset would be to live every day as if he's going to split that eastern sky within the week. Get ready now. It will confirm their faith in the past work of the messages. The warning, reproof, and instruction given by the Spirit of God are needed by all. There is need of an awakening, a searching of heart in the light that God has given. Literally, search the heart every day. Are you truly believe this stuff? Or because understand? I mean, try to search your heart. It's not an easy task sometimes to try to understand how you think. But try to do that. Search your heart, because when you do that, you understand what the Father sees, because he's the one that looks at the heart. The truths presented in Volume 4 are needed by the people and have been needed for years. The Lord bade me make no delay in bringing out these warnings, and I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I have done all that I could do. Our agencies must act their part in giving the book the circulation it should have. By the way, they stopped printing those books. Yeah. Sad. Continuing. But since the General Conference of 1888, we all know about what happened in that year, Satan has been working with special power through unconsecrated elements to weaken the confidence of God's people in the voice that has been appealing to them for these many years. If he can succeed in this, then through misapplication of Scripture, he will lead many to cast away their confidence in the past work under the messages. It'll become trivial or no big deal, or maybe it's not true, because you do hear some of the Adventist churches burning Ellen White's writings now. Thus he would set them adrift with no solid foundation for their faith, hoping to bring them fully under his power. Let the attention of our people be called to the special work of the Spirit of God as it has been connected with the rise and progress of the three messages, and the blessing will result to the whole body. A revival of faith and interest in the testimonies of the Spirit of God will lead to the obtaining of a helpful experience in the things of God. God has given the messages of Revelation 14 their place in the line of prophecy, and their work is not to cease till the close of Earth's history. This Earth's history. The first and second angels' messages are still truth for this time and are to run parallel which follows. The third angel proclaims his warning with a loud voice. After these things, said John, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Revelation 18:1, of course. In this illumination, the light of all the three messages is combined. In volume 4, the Lord has revealed to us the coming crisis which is almost upon us. He has warned us of the dangers that beset our way. In order that we may lay hold upon his strength and get the victory over the beast and his image and stand at last on the sea of glass to sing the song of everlasting triumph. But the Lord does not intend that we shall keep these warnings or warning to ourselves. I mean, there's all sorts of evidence of complacency and lukewarmness, even in the folks that have stepped out of the Seventh-day Adventist Church now, some of us have been seeing lately. You know, the kicking back kind of attitude, like, let the other guy do it. The light he has given in volume 4 is for the world. Today, iniquity prevails, not only in the world, polluting it as in Noah's day, but exists in the church. As a counter-influence, the cross of Calvary must be lifted up. The atoning sacrifice must be kept before the people, that men may behold sin in its true hateful character and may lay hold upon the righteousness of Christ, which alone can subdue sin and restore the moral image of God in man. Many in the church allow things of an earthly nature to interpose between the soul and heaven. They have not a right conception of the character of God. They do not perceive his matchless love, and faith and love die out of their hearts. Many minds are confused. They cannot discern spiritual things, and they are not made unable to distinguish the voice of the true shepherd from that of a stranger. That's a constant prayer we should all have each day. You know, bless us with the discernment to understand where should I go, left or right. And if you don't go in your scriptures, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you don't go in the scriptures, you won't know where to go left or right. You won't have the experience that the patriarchs or anybody else that was spoken of in scripture done in the past. If they decided to go in one direction and the Lord looked upon it with a smile, do we need to think further? How necessary is it that such should study the message that God has given, lest they be swept away by the overwhelming delusions of the enemy? The whole world lieth in darkness. Darkness covers the earth, and gross darkness the people. And the Lord calls upon the members of the church to labor together with him in awakening the world, if possible, to their peril. We cannot do this ourselves. We must derive our efficiency from Christ. Jesus says, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. John 12:32. So just concentrate on sharing Christ and Christ our righteousness. You know, not only sharing Christ, but sharing him in the acts that we, you know, our own faith. And we will see people drawn to Christ. We don't need, you know, celebration services and heavy rock bands and entertainment in the churches. That's what the people are looking for, something to fill a void, and that's what they're filling it with, instead of actually bringing Christ to the forefront. Here is the secret of power, of effectiveness. For though human instrumentalities are employed in the work of salvation, it is the light shining from the uplifted cross that alone can attract hearts heavenward. We must present the truth as it is in Jesus. The light and power of an indwelling Savior must be ours, or we cannot draw others to him. We must be imbued with the spirit of truth, the spirit of Christ. There is no power in humanity to draw humanity to Christ. We are as iron that cannot attract unless it is unless it be magnetized. We must be sanctified through the truth if we would have a sanctifying influence upon others. Jesus says, "Thy word is truth," in John 17, 17. It is through a sanctified knowledge of the word of God that we shall be able to overcome the powers of darkness and win souls for the Master. So read your Bibles every day. You eat every day. We may as well read every day. You know, feed the spirit as well as the feed the soul as well as the body. Continuing, it says, "I have felt to urge upon all the necessity of searching the scriptures for themselves, that they may know what is truth and may discern more clearly the compassion and love of God. Yet there is need of carefulness and earnest prayer in the study of the Bible, and none may fall into error by misconception of its teachings. There is one great central truth to be kept ever before the mind in the searching of the scriptures, Christ and Him crucified. Every other truth is invested with influence and power corresponding to its relation to this theme. It is only in the light of the cross that we can discern the exalted character of the law of God. The soul palsied by sin can be endowed with life only through the work wrought out upon the cross by the author of our salvation." Hold on a second here. I'm getting an echo and it's starting to bother me. I'll turn these things down. It's kicking through my headphones because the headphones are connected to the mixer board. Kind of bounces through. All right. "The love of Christ constrains man to unite with Him in labors and sacrifice. The revelation of divine love awakens in them a sense of their neglected obligation to be light bearers to the world, inspires them with a missionary spirit. This truth enlightens the mind and sanctifies the soul. It will banish unbelief and inspire faith. It is the one great truth to be constantly kept before the minds of men. Yet how dimly is the love of God understood, and in the teaching of the Word it makes but a faint impression. When Christ in His work of redemption is seen to be the great central truth of the system of truth, a new light is shed upon all the events of the past and the future. They are seen in a new relation and possess a new and deeper significance. It is thus that God, by His Holy Spirit, has opened these things to His people. From this standpoint, Volume 4 of the Great Controversy presents to our view the past experience of the Church and the great events of the future. In that book, God has laid out before us in their true relation the events that are to take place upon our earth. But Satan is constantly seeking to intercept every ray of light that God sends to prepare the people for what is before them. To those who should give the light to the world, he will present plans which appear to be for the promulgation of truth, but which will in reality hinder the work. These plans appear so plausible, however, that they are accepted. And thus his object is accomplished." And we see that happening in the GC, you know, in the SDA Church, and all the churches. "This is why Volume 4 has not received the attention it should have. If it is a book which the people need, if the Divine Watcher has therein condescended to unveil the scenes of the great contest in which every soul living will have a part to act, should there not be an earnest effort to circulate it? Should not the canvasser be encouraged to handle it?" But the Seventh-day Adventist Church stopped printing them. "Should not our people be encouraged to do their utmost to bring it before the world? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. Whenever a book is presented that will expose error, Satan is close by the side of one to whom it is offered and urges reasons why it should not be accepted. But a divine agency is at work to influence the minds in favor of the light. Ministering angels will oppose their power to that of Satan. And when through the influence of the Holy Spirit the truth is received into the mind and the heart, it will have a transforming power upon the character. It is not the ability of the agent or the worker, but it is the Spirit of God moving upon the heart that will give true success." So, because a lot of times those of us that are out there in the trenches, sometimes we don't see fruits of our labors right off sometimes. And it gets to us. And sometimes we do, but sometimes we don't. And it gets to us. But that's not, it shouldn't be our concern. It's not our job. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And if that, if it would have bothered, if it's supposed to affect us and bother us to some extent, well, then I guess Noah would have stopped preaching long before he finished that ark. So how many people think you were listening to him? Many of our brethren do not think, but that other publications may be fully as effective in bringing souls to a knowledge of the truth as Volume 4. There are some occupying positions of responsibility who have had little experience in working of the Holy Spirit. They do not appreciate the light in warnings, reproofs, and encouragements given to the church in these last days because their hearts and minds have not been receiving the Spirit of divine grace. She's talking about the leaders of the church over 100 years ago. It's a lot worse now. These persons are disposed to conceal the fact that in connection with the work of the third angel's message, the Lord, through the spirit of prophecy, has been communicating to his people a knowledge of his will. They think the truth will be received more readily if this fact is not made prominent. But this is mere human reasoning. The very fact that this light coming to the people is not presented as having originated with human minds will make an impression upon a large class who believe that the gifts of the Spirit are to be manifested in the church in the last days. The attention of many will thus be arrested, and they will be convicted and converted. Many will thus be impressed who would not otherwise be reached. I testify to the churches that Volume 4 should have had just as wide a circulation as any other work we have published, but no one seems to feel that they have any special duty in that manner. Wait, was it these, or was it, I know the green books, they stopped printing the green books, but do they still print those, you know, the Spirit of Prophecy 1, 2, 3, 4? I don't know. From what I understand, they don't. Not sure. Is anybody in the audio room saying otherwise? Luke? Nope, nobody is. All right. Well, they know it's extremely impossible to get a hold of them. Not the Review and Herald. I know those things they're not printing. The big green books, they stop that.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 1, 2, 3, 4, those big, thick books. All right, finishing up. Now I present it. What? I can't. Wait, let me just mark a spot here. All right, what? Echoes from the Past? Oh, yeah, Echoes from the Past is doing it. Yeah, I know that. But he's not connected with the GC. That's, you know, the Seventh-day Adventist Church itself isn't doing it, from what I understand. Okay. All right. Finishing up. Now, I present it to you, my brethren, in the name of the Lord. I think that many of you do not know what it contains, and I ask you to study it carefully and prayerfully. Then you will see the force of my words. You will see the necessity of urging that it find a place in every family among us and that it be carried to the world. The results of the circulation of this book, which of course is Volume 4, are not to be judged by what now appears. By reading it, some souls will be aroused and will have courage to unite themselves. And I know you can't be, I mean, you get aroused just by reading the scriptures too. And you can tell when you read Sister White's writings, you can tell it's inspired and how it arouses you. It gets you, you know, it lights a fire in you. We were just talking about that this morning, as a matter of fact. By reading it, some souls will be aroused and will have courage to unite themselves at once with those who keep the commandments of God. But a much larger number who read it will not take the position until they see the very events taking place that are foretold in it. The fulfillment of some of these predictions will inspire faith that other predictions also will come to pass. And when the earth is lighted with the glory of the Lord in the closing work, many souls will take the position on the commandments of God as a result of this agency. So praise the Lord for that. But it's definitely a book to get your hands on. That's positive. Okay, I'm gonna stop here. That was all one letter, by the way. I think it was all one letter. Manuscript 31, 1890. I wasn't kidding. It was large, but it was well worth it. All right. I guess we're gonna sing in a moment here. I gotta get a drink of water. So I'll be back in a minute. I'll be right back.